Hallelujah. 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 Well, it's the last Sunday of 2017, so we made an on-the-fly call to just go ahead and worship a little extra, you know. We're not going to have any more time to worship like this in 2017. This is it. We used it up. So we might as well push it all the way to the boundaries and all the ways to the limits of it. Great job, team. Thank you so much. Chad, thank you for pressing through, brother. Thank you. Man, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, back in the middle of November, I woke up in the middle of the night from a dream. And I dream from time to time, but don't have many that I know are like from the Lord or should be processed that way. But as I woke up that night in the middle of November, I knew this was something God spoke to me. And so then, being the super spiritual person that I am, I looked at my phone to see what time it was, to discern whether I could just go back to sleep and remember it in the morning, or if I needed to get up and write it. Well, at that time, I realized I got 4 or 5 more hours to sleep. If I don't get up and write this, I won't remember this. So I got up in the night, walked down the hall, found me a piece of paper, got a pen, and this is what I wrote down. Processing life through filters. Hurt changes orientation. Offense, forgiveness. Disillusionment, loss of hope, walking in the dark, turn on the light. Religion takes us away from the Holy Spirit, kindness and flexibility. And after I wrote that down, I had this knowing that it was something the Lord just wanted to show me, that he was speaking to me, things he was reminding me of in the dream, but also that it was something that he wanted me to share and share here. But it's the middle of November, we're looking at Christmas. And then it just became pretty clear to me that it was for this weekend, for the last weekend of the year. And as I've considered that and thought on that, I want to talk to you this weekend just briefly about unfiltered. Unfiltered. And as I have been processing this word since mid-November, the Lord has also downloaded to me that it's a series of messages, unfiltered this week, unbridled next week, and united the week after that. And that sets the stage for the Live to Love conference when Will Hart and Heidi Baker are going to be here, and it's going to be a powerful weekend. We're already at 650 registered. 700 about maxes out the room for what they'll take registration-wise. So still, if you're not registered, still a chance to do it, but the registration will soon be closed out. Unfiltered. So important that we get unfiltered as we close out 2017 and head into 2018, because filters provide excuses, justifications, and the rationale for settling. Filters cause us to live as victims. Filters keep us from embracing the responsibility we each have to be growing in our relationship, to be growing in our understanding, to be growing in our experiential knowledge of God and his ways every day. And yet in 2 Peter, it says God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our experiential knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. God has called each one of us by name to experience his glory and his goodness. But our filters open up the door to identity theft. You know, identity theft is a real issue in the natural realm. Many times, things that you see in the natural realm are also happening in the spirit realm as well. The enemy of our souls is constantly involved in distorting and confusing and even the attempted theft of our identity. But God has his own life lock identity theft protection system. It's threefold. One, he's put the Holy Spirit inside of us. His very presence lives in us. So we're not just relating to a God that's somewhere out there. We're relating to a God that is in here, alive and well in the heart of every believer. That's number one. Number two, he's given us the word. He's given us the scripture so we can be in the word and we can read this book and we can learn from things that have happened in other people's lives and choices they've made, revelation that God has given us. So we've got the Spirit alive and well in us. We've got his word. And the other part of maintaining and keeping our identity is the importance of being surrounded by other people who love God and who are pursuing him and who love us enough to speak the truth to us in love when we need to hear it. Because the Holy Spirit is an excellent communicator, but how many know sometimes we don't pay attention to what he's saying? The Bible is full of wisdom and revelation. When you open it up, things that God just wants to speak and open up to us and reveal his heart to us over and over again. But many times it's just like, well, it's just words on the page. I guess I read my Bible today. There's something about, if we've missed those two, God still has one other plan, and it's people who love us and who care about us and who know us. And they love us enough to say, no, I know who you are. I know you're wiped out. I know you're weak right now, but I will stand with you. I'll believe with you. I'll pray with you. Or when we're going off this way, go, no, that's not who you are. I know you. That's not how you're created to live. And so in all of these things, God works, the Holy Spirit, his word, and people to keep our identity. The bottom line is, if we don't want our identity as much loved sons and daughters of the one true God to be stolen, we have to be willing to eliminate some of the filters that we put in our lives, and we have to stay engaged and active in securing our identity in Christ. In order to participate in the divine nature and to escape the corruption that's in the world caused by evil desires, 2 Peter 1:5 says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. In other words, effective and productive faith requires constant renovation. What we have right now is not enough. If we want to keep our faith effective and productive, we've got to keep adding to it, layer upon layer, what the Lord has in store for us. You ever seen the show Fixer Upper? A lot of people have seen that show. It's made Waco a brand new town. It's amazing what's happening there in Waco. But on that show, they demonstrate the secret of how to make a defined space bigger. In every show, in every house they work in, they remove walls. Part of demo day is taking out a lot of the old stuff, cabinets, flooring, appliances, and of course, walls. Sometimes there are walls like they want to move them, but for structural reasons, they might not be able to. But then sure enough, they figure out a way to add a new header, a new support beam. Basically, it seems to me when they go to working on renovating a house, where there's a will, there's a way. And Joanna Gaines, I believe, has a gift to see old houses unfiltered. She has a gift to walk into a place that has all these defined walls and structures that have been there a long, long time, and see how instead of staying comfortable in these little bitty rooms, we can open up this space and create a space that's wide open and free flowing. And right now I'm looking at a room full of fixer-uppers that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to us today, ways that we can see our lives unfiltered. I know you're comfortable with that wall where it's at. I know it's been there a long time. Your grandmama might have put that wall there. But God has something new and something fresh for us, and it requires us to be unfiltered and more open to things than we've been before. It's part of what he's walking us into as we continue to go forward with him, removing these filters. There are some things that need to stay, but there are things that need to go to open us up to become the fullest expression of who the Holy Spirit has created us to become. If you got your Bibles, open up to Hebrews 12. We're just going to look at a couple of verses there. Before we leave today, like I said earlier, we're going to take communion, take the Lord's Supper together. In 1 Corinthians, it encourages us to examine ourselves before we break the bread and drink the cup. And so as we look at this text from Hebrews 12, I want us to just welcome the Holy Spirit to reveal and inspect our lives, for filters that need to be removed, for things that need to change. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to be ashamed of. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. Holy Spirit has known all those things were there the whole time. He's not surprised. And in his kindness and his mercy today, he's going to give some revelation. He gives the revelation for our own good. And he gives the revelation with it the grace to repent and let go of those things. The things the Lord's going to show this morning, it may feel like you may at first think, oh, I don't know if I can get rid of that. Just let it go. The grace is there right in this moment as he reveals it to let it go. Not only the grace to repent and let it go, but also the grace that empowers us to have the courage to make changes in our lives. What I know is this: God has some things to show to each one of us that he doesn't want us to leave the room with. He wants us to leave them here at the altar before him, and he wants to release us and put those things under his blood. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Here's the first three steps to getting unfiltered. And each one of them is given to us as a choice. Let us. And after those choices, the word consider him. God desires us to live unfiltered because filters wear us out. Filters steal our hope. And they cause us to accept the familiar and to resist change. Throw off everything that hinders. The King James says, lay aside every weight. The Amplified says, strip off and throw aside every encumbrance and every unnecessary weight. In the Greek, it's to put away, to cast off, to lay aside. All these words are from the idea of take no prisoners and kill it dead. That thing that doesn't belong in your life anymore. This is kind of like Old Testament style battle, you know. In the Old Testament, when they went in, they were told to wipe everything out. And in this passage, in this text, when it's talking about the things that hinder, it's saying get rid of them. It's aggressive. It's assertive. It's purposeful. It's intentional. Leave none standing. Eliminate them. This applies to everything that hinders. And it also applies to sin. Because sin is described here as so easily entangling us. We're all susceptible to sin. Sin is missing the mark. Sin is settling for less than God's original best design for us. The word came from in the Greek days with the archers. They would shoot at the target. And if you didn't hit the bullseye, the distance between where your arrow hit and the bullseye, that is sin. And so it's the same in our lives today. God has an original, perfect design for our lives. And anything we settle for less than the bullseye is sin. And it's a sin that isn't just some ethereal, academic, religious concept. This sin is alive. This sin is an active adversary that we've got to deal with. The King James describes sin as besetting us. The Amplified says sin readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us. The Greek word describes a competitor thwarting a racer in every direction. It can also mean standing around, because many times sin is standing around in our life, around the edges of our life, just looking for agreement, just looking for us to step off to the right or step off to the left, and then we step into something more than we realized. We thought, well, that doesn't make that much difference if I step that way or do that one thing. It's just one thing. And then sin's just tangling us up and pulling us away from the course. Sin always causes filters, and the filters of sin always slow us down. In Proverbs 1, the psalmist said it this way, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, who does not stand in the way of sinners, who does not sit in the seat of mockers. You see the path? You go from walking to standing to slowing down. That's what happens when we allow sin into our lives. It gets us from being on the move and gets us sedentary. But blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night, because that man is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. That's the way God wants all of our lives to be, that we're planted by a stream of living water, that our leaves show up when they're supposed to show up, and the things that we set our hands to prosper. That is God's heart for it. It is to his great pleasure that our lives show great fruit and we show ourselves to be his kids. But connected to every hurt, every offense, every disillusionment, every walk in the dark, and every trap of religion is a sin that desires to entangle us. And as the Lord said to Cain, sin is crouching at your door, it desires to have you, but you must master it. And I've said it many times this year, and I'm going to continue speaking. It is so important for us to settle this in our mind. Sin is not something to be managed in our lives. Sin is to be mastered and eliminated from our lives. Don't believe that, well, you're just human and you're just going to keep on sinning. Guess who made that one up? Sin made that one up. It's part of the entanglement. We are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone and the new is come, and it's God's heart and God's desire from all the way back in the beginning with Cain in the garden that we would master sin and not be mastered by it. It's our choice. Only as we honestly face and deal with and master sin will we be able to run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. When we live in denial, when we live in acceptance of sin, filters put up blinders on our eyes. Filters tell us, you're just kind of wandering through life and it doesn't make any difference anyway. Jesus is coming back someday, just hang on. Filters cause us to stop running before the second wind kicks in. When I was in seminary, I'd go to school, to seminary from 9 to 3. I'd drive to my house, get something to eat, then I'd go to work from 4:15 to 1 in the morning. And when I'd come home from work, I wasn't tired like I should have been. If that was my life now, I would just collapse and go straight to bed. But I was a young man then, and so I'd get home at 1 o'clock still just charged up, so I would go running. And I set up a course in my neighborhood that just short of the 3-mile mark, I had to run straight uphill for about a half a block. And what I knew is that when I got to that, if I made it to the top of the hill, I could go 2 more miles if I made it to the top of the hill. If I didn't make it to the top of the hill, I only had a little bit to go before I walked back home. But what would make the difference is sometimes going up that hill, I'd think, okay, I'm done. I think I'm about finished. And then something called second wind kicks in. And when you're a runner, all of a sudden you're empty, but all of a sudden like, no, I'm good. And then you can just keep running. What happens when we allow filters in our lives is it doesn't allow us to get to the second wind. It stops us before that kicks in. And there's things in our life that God wants us to keep running and keep pressing in. And he is the wind that keeps us moving and going that way. Because second wind is related to unfiltered in this way. I understand that I have run a long way and I should be tired, but my God has made me an overcomer and there's something more in me. And I also understand that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces a hope that doesn't disappoint because he's poured out the Holy Spirit in our lives, and that's the Holy Spirit that he's given us. Unfiltered, we can see and embrace. There is a race that is set before me. That's what it says in the King James. Unfiltered, we can live with and stay connected to a sense of place and purpose no matter what comes our way, no matter how long the course is. There are very few people that have showed up on the earth whose race is a sprint. There are some. And our heart breaks when these little ones go so soon. It's like they just got here. They can't be gone. There's a heartbreak to that. For most of us, the race that we're called to is long distance running. The Amplified says patient endurance and steadily active perseverance to the appointed course of the race that is set before us. I'm running my race. You're running your race. Sometimes in the pathways of our race, we're running side by side. And then sometimes I go off this way and you go off this way. But I've got my race to run. You can't run my race. I've got to run my race. But I can't run your race. You have to run your race. It's individualized. It's personalized. It is our course to run. The Greek word says that it's marked out and set out before us. That means it's there to be seen. It lies before us in open view. It's something that the Lord keeps in our mind. It's a combination of in front of and to lie outstretched. Our race isn't a make it up as we go journey. No, it's a marked off course. If you ever run any kind of long distance race or marathon or super marathon, they don't just shoot off the gun and let you run wherever you want to run. No, the course is laid out. It's all marked off. There's places that show you where to turn. People have gone ahead of you to prepare the way so that you can see the way through. And that is the way our life is. It may seem like, but I don't know where to go. I'm just running aimlessly. You've got a filter that needs to come down and you can let it go today. And when that filter comes down today, you'll see more clearly the race that is marked out for us, every one of us, without exception, in advance for us to run in. Jesus once said, set your hand to the plow and don't look back. One of the things the Holy Spirit loves to do is to reveal to us the things that are to come. He not only talks about what's happening right now, but he tells us things to come. A lot of times we get excited and think, oh, he showed it to me. I must be doing it today. No, many times he shows us things. It's a month down the road or 6 months, maybe even 2 or 3 years down the road, the thing he showed you today. Then why did he show it to me today? Because he's setting up a target so that when you start focusing in on where you're going, do I go this way or this way? Well, this way doesn't take me to that. This way, that's how you get there. And so then it allows us to stay focused on who we're called to be. It allows us to stay on our course. He speaks to us those things to come, marking out the course so we can see in advance, this is taking me there. It's so important to keep our eyes looking forward. The only place worthy of fixing our eyes upon. The only place is actually a person, Jesus himself, the leader, the source, the creator, the initiator, and the finisher of our faith. Philippians 1 says, be confident of this. He who's begun a good work in your life will be faithful to bring it to completion. He will carry it all the way to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Jesus is also our example. How did he stay faithful all the way to the end? He did it by keeping his eyes on something. He kept his eyes set on the joy that was set before him. He kept his eyes set on the joy of obtaining the prize. Another way to say it, he kept his eyes set on the joy of winning. Throwing off, running with perseverance, fixing our eyes on Jesus. They're all part of the choice to faithfully and regularly consider him. What he's done, what he's doing, and what he's yet to do. Verse 4, in your struggle with sin, you've not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. You've forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. This is a word of perspective, a word of reality from the writer of Hebrews. He invokes to our remembrance. Remember, it's a crucial word of encouragement for every born-again believer and child of God. Our God loves us just like we are, too much to leave us this way, and he is fully committed to the cost of disciplining us, to the time of disciplining us. And we're accountable for how we respond. We are also the product of how we respond to the Lord's discipline. This particular word for discipline refers to a tutor, a teacher, a coach. It involves education and training. It speaks to disciplined correction and instruction and nurture. And it's also connected to the inevitability of the Lord rebuking us from time to time. In fact, I want to say this, that if you're not in a relationship with the Lord where he's not bringing correction into your life, maybe you ought to figure out whether you're in relationship with him or not. Because it's inevitable that the Lord is going to work and bring correction into our lives. Some of the same way through the identity. Sometimes it's the Holy Spirit. Sometimes through its word. Sometimes it's from a brother or sister that speaks truth into our life. But it's an inevitable part of our walk and our journey. It's an inevitable part of the renovation. And when we make light of or we despise or have little regard for God's discipline in our lives, filters come up in our lives. Filters cause us to misunderstand. Filters cause us to misinterpret who God is. Filters can cause us to faint or to reject and turn away from the life-giving corrective elements that God is bringing into our lives. Filters cause us to disparage and devalue God's actions. And ultimately what filters do is they make us switch places with God. When we get enough filters in our lives, then we think we're God and we tell him how he ought to be doing it. Listen, he's really good at who he is. He doesn't need our advice on how to be God. He's got it right. He's been doing it a really, really long time. But when we allow filters in our lives, all of a sudden the things flip and we start telling him he's not doing what he ought to be doing or acting like he ought to be doing or responding to us the way he ought to be responding, when in fact he's bringing discipline into our lives to bring that relationship into its right alignment. The Amplified says, do not think lightly or scorn to submit to the correction and discipline of the Lord, or lose courage and give up and faint when you are reproved or corrected by God. That's part of living unfiltered. We're open to the things that he speaks to us. And he doesn't have to say it with a loud voice. He doesn't have to hit us with a lightning bolt. Sure, there's the example of Paul being knocked off his horse and blinded for 3 days. But that didn't happen a lot of times in the Bible. More often than not, it was God speaking gently or kindly or patiently. More often than not, when we miss the discipline of the Lord, here's what we get. Okay, take another lap around the mountain. Because this is the next thing that you're going to learn. And you don't have to, I'm giving you the grace right now. You can learn it, embrace it, and remember that right now, Okay, or you can take another lap around, and we're going to still learn it. I'm not moving on to the next thing until you learn this one. That's the way it is with God. He's resolute, patient, and persistent in that. And so, again, I've found in this point in my life, as soon as I recognize his discipline, embrace it and go with it. As soon as you see the correction, repent, embrace it, and go with it, because you can't get to the next thing until you've allowed him to deal with that part of that thing in your life that he's pointing out. And really, it's not if we get reproved or corrected, it's when we get reproved and corrected, no exceptions. Proverbs 6 says, the corrections of discipline are the way of life. In Hebrews 12:6, this verse, it sounds kind of harsh, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Actually, the writer of Hebrews is quoting from Proverbs 3, and I love the way Solomon wrote it in Proverbs 3 better than the way the writer of Hebrews remembered it, because this thing, he punishes everyone he accepts as a son, which sounds so dark and foreboding, is written like this in Proverbs 3. The Lord disciplines those he loves as a father, the child he delights in. That's really the way it is. He's not just throwing a temper tantrum and upset with something else and taking it out on us because we're smaller than him. When God brings discipline into our lives, it's for our good. It's for our benefit. He delights in us enough to do it. That word delight means he accepts us. He cherishes us. He welcomes us to his heart. Being reproved, corrected, and disciplined proves we are legitimately his kids, because the one the Lord loves, he disciplines. So we got an opportunity this morning to get rid of any filters that are hanging out in your life, any things the Lord has brought to mind as I've been talking to you. This is a safe place. This is a perfect God-ordained time. There's no reason to take some of those filters that have been in our lives, no reason to take them into 2018, and 2018 starts tomorrow. So today is the time. And I just want to highlight a few of these things again that the Lord woke me up in the night saying. Hurt changes identity. One of the things in the dream was a friend of mine who went through a series of hurtful things and now is living in a way that he's completely lost track of who he is. He's living completely contrary to God's design for his life right now. And he's hardened his heart to it, because what he did was he accepted a filter and he allowed the hurt in his life to define who he is. Listen to me. The hurts in our life, the disappointments in our lives, the things we have experienced are never the definition of who we are. Jesus said, in this world we will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And at the heart of every one of God's kids is an overcomer. We have these things in our lives and we overcome them. But if we allow them to become a filter in our life, they can literally cause us to change our identity and lose who we are and our understanding of who we are. Offenses. In the moment the offense happens, there's grace to forgive. And again, I want to encourage you, forgive. I don't want to forgive. That was mean what they did. They don't deserve to be given. No, they don't deserve to be given. And it was probably mean, and you didn't deserve for it to happen to you. But if you don't forgive, you're going to keep reliving that experience over and over again. You're going to keep giving that power. You're going to stay connected to that thing. But instead, if at the moment of the offense, as quickly as possible, you forgive, then it doesn't justify what they did. It doesn't make it right, but it leaves them in God's hands. It keeps you in God's hands, safe and disconnected from that thing. But I don't feel like doing that. Very rarely in the moment of offense do we feel like forgiving the one who has offended us. Just use the prayer Jesus prayed from the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But they did know what they're doing. They said those words. They did that thing on purpose. They were deliberately trying to hurt me and undermine me. They really don't know what they're doing. Hurt people blindly. And for us, in order to stay free, in order to stay unfiltered, when offenses come up, we need to forgive as quickly as possible. Disillusionment. You know, we can't always have what we want when we want it. Things don't always turn out like we want. And disillusionment is right there, trying to then steal hope away because it didn't happen right now like you were believing it can happen. And listen, we have so many things to hope for in this life, but our hope is not just limited to this life. There are some things that not until we get to the other side will it make sense what we are dealing with here. And we have to keep that perspective, because disillusionment tries to steal our hope. And when we allow hope to get away from us, then we find ourselves venturing off and walking in dark places. We're called to walk in the light as he is in the light. In the darkness, there's all kinds of things that can hurt us, trip us up and fall. In the darkness, there's deception. Sometimes the people get addicted to the adrenaline rush of the sneaky stuff of the things that, well, nobody's going to find out about this. And there's something inside of us that appeals to our flesh and all that. But what a terrible way to live. Listen, if you're watching, doing, going, whatever places that you know, even right now as I'm talking about this, it's one of those things, because you might be thinking about it right now. This is the time to stop walking in the dark and to turn on the light. This is the light of the Lord coming to say you can be free from that. The only free place to live is in the light, in the full light. Those secrets and things take so much energy and so much life. The only free place to live is in the light. The blood of Jesus has paid for, washed, covered, and cleansed every sin. He's the one that we can come to and walk in the freedom and walk in the light. Just allow the light to come on inside you. And then this whole thing about religion, just, it's so tricky. Religion can steal us away from the Holy Spirit. We can get so into the disciplines of religion that sometimes it pulls you away. I mean, it's so subtle how it happens. Maybe you're just doing all this Bible study and you're doing all of these things, but now you start counting on the things you're doing rather than on a relationship with the Holy Spirit. God didn't send Jesus here so that we could have a religion. He sent him here that we could have relationship. And part of this relationship is an ongoing expression of kindness. That's why in 2 Peter it says, add to your faith goodness. It doesn't say add to your faith knowledge. It says add to your faith goodness. And after you've added goodness, then you're ready to add some knowledge into the mix. But this kindness, God is the kindest person that any of us have ever met. And he's put us here on earth to be the ones who receive that kindness and then pass it along to other people. Religion sometimes can cause us to separate. Religion can cause us to put up walls. Well, this is what I believe, this is what you believe, we're not going to get. Let's set all those things aside. Let's celebrate what we embrace in Jesus, what we share in Jesus together. Let's walk in the Spirit. Let's walk in his kindness. And let's stay flexible, because the kingdom of the Lord is on the move. He is on the move. He's constantly changing and drawing and opening up brand new things. And religion causes us to go, yeah, but this is the way I've always done it, and this is the way I'm going to keep doing it, because this is the way I like to do it. And you can do that, but you end up then cutting off fresh life. You put up a filter that says, well, I just don't like it that way. And we miss some of the new, fresh things. God loves new. He loves fresh. And he desires us for us to walk in that way. All these are filters that come up. And if any of these things resonate in you this morning, this is a good time to just let them go. Just let them go. We put these communion elements here at the front. In the next couple of weeks, we're actually going to take communion together. We'll use these in the next couple of weeks and take it, get as you come in, and we'll take it together. But this morning, just the nature of the way this is, I really felt like this needed to be an individual thing. And so we've put these here at the front. You peel off the first layer, and it's got the little wafer in there, and then the second layer in the juice. And what I want to ask you to do this morning, we're just going to take a few more minutes here. I'm going to sing a song over us, and I got another couple of songs we're going to play, so we can just take some time here. Corinthians says, examine your heart. This is the time for the Holy Spirit to reveal to you, is there something that's in your life that you don't need to take into 2018? Is there something in your life that you need to secure because you're going to need in 2018? Either way. I feel like what the Lord would have us to do is just come grab one of these things. I think if you can do it, and it's going to get a little crowded because there's a lot of people in here, but I think if you can do it, I would encourage you to come up and grab one of these communion elements, and somewhere up here in the front, somewhere in this altar area, take the moment by yourself, open it up, be honest, talk with the Lord, and deal with him on a one-on-one basis. And then when you're finished, go back to your seat, and we'll finish up the service by speaking the blessing at the end like we always do. But I just want to go to the piano now. I'm going to sing this one song over. So as soon as you're free to release from the Lord, come ahead and grab communion and partake of it, and then we'll finish up in just a minute.
Sorrows, acquainted with our grief, wounded for our transgressions and our iniquities, You bore the sins of many, so that we could be free. And I will always thank you, for now I clearly see how beautiful your sacrifice. You bore my sins. You saved my for our peace, wounded for our salvation. Oh God, how can this be? You bore the sins of many, so that we could be free. I will always love you for all eternity. How beautiful your sacrifice. You bore my sin. Saved my life. How beautiful your sacrifice. You bore my sins. You saved my life.